my patience. And we looked that word up, and that word means endurance and with joy. And so when we walk each day with the Lord, we do it with a joy in our heart. We do it with an excitement, desiring to serve Him. And you know, when our eyes and our heart is upon the Lord throughout each and every day, it's going to be a wonderful day. I don't care what goes on, because you're going to have a peace in your heart. You're going to have a contentment in your heart, because you're looking on and praising and honoring your God always. And it is important, in order for us to have this peace and have this patience, we need to stay true to the Word of God. The devil wants us away from the Word of God. And so much today is they take little bits and pieces of God's Word, but they do not take the entirety from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. They look at just little bits and parts, and they make it fit to their own lives and their own ways, and off they go. Our dear God wants us to stay true to His Word. And His Word is here. It is His Word. It's not for us to change, to correct it, to meet with our lives. It is for us to follow after God's precious truth. And so we want His patience. And the Scripture tells us, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. They have stayed true to the word. They have stayed true to the word, and they've enjoyed it. They have done it with honor and with privilege. And so, again, there is nothing more important, and there's nothing more desirous of the devil is to destroy, to discredit the word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. That's the first, that you hold true to the Word of God. And the second part here is, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, or hour of tribulation. The great tribulation is what they're talking about here. We are going to be lifted from that time. Now, there are three thoughts concerning the tribulation. One, and this is kind of where we ended last week, there's one that is post, one mid, and one pre. And what you call yourselves when you get into all these titles, you know, I'm a pre-tribulationist. I am a mid-tribulationist. I'm a post-tribulationist. Well, what that means is that there is different thoughts on how far we go into the tribulation, this seven-year tribulation. Well, one, and some believe that they will go through all of the tribulation, all 7 years of it. Well, that's kind of difficult for me to follow, because we, as a church, are with Him when we come back down. Now, how do we get there if we're going to go through the tribulation? So there's not a lot to believe in post the going through the tribulation. But there are many, several, that are mid-tribulationists, and most of them go by that thought because there are 3.5 years of supposed peace upon the earth. The first 3.5 years are going to be pretty quiet years. And then the last 3.5 years, literally all hell will break loose here upon earth, the last 3.5 years. And so some believe that we're going to go through to the midway. I believe the Word of God, and I believe the truth tells us that the church will be raptured before the appearing of the Antichrist, before the tribulation starts. And so what a wonderful promise the Word of God gets us, and it gives us. And here in this Scripture verse is one of them. And it says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'm going to keep you from that hour of tribulation. We're not going to have to go into the most horrible, wicked time that's going to be here on earth, that seven-year period. We're not going to have to face that. The church is going to leave. The church is going to be raptured. True believers keep the word, and true believers confess the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they know the word, and they enjoy the word, and we enjoy the word on a daily basis. And it brings joy to our heart, and we need to trust and walk each day. And again, that word patience means endurance with joy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, and the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience, a patient waiting for Christ. For the patient waiting for Christ. You see, we should not be worried about the tribulation when it's coming. We should be excited and looking for His coming. Christ's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. If you want to have a big group, and it's happened from time to time here, as we study on a Bible study night, Wednesday night or Sunday night, the book of Revelation, you always have folks come. They want to see all those things, and they kind of wonder and see this image and this beast, and this is happening and all those things. And boy, they just come and love to look at it and discuss it and argue it a little bit and come up with everything. My friend, we're going to study, because God tells us to study the Word of God from the beginning to the end, and it's there for a purpose. But we need to, in looking at what the rest of this book is going to tell us about that time in the future, it needs to focus our eyes on Jesus is coming, and He is coming soon. And so we need to be prepared for His coming. True believers will not go through any part of the tribulation, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not directed us. He has not given us to a time of wrath. He has given us to a time of joy and peace, even in this life, but especially to the life to come. We are not going to have to face that tribulation period. You find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Saved, born-again believers are not saved to go through wrath. We are saved and delivered from the wrath of God. And what a wonderful promise. This afternoon, I'd like for you to read the chapter, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There are 58 verses there, and I read through it two or three times, trying to see if I could take part of the verses, and I don't want to do that. I want you to go this afternoon and read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and again, there's 58 verses I want you to read, and it's beautiful verses of Scripture concerning this. Now, if we continue then to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has kept us from the light. He has called us out of darkness into the light. Everything is for our good, and we will not have to face that time of tribulation. Genesis chapter 7, we have many examples. I'm going to take two. One is Noah, and the second one is Lot. Both of those examples, before one drop fell, it wasn't pouring down rain. The ark was just about finished. God started the rain just a little bit early. And so Noah was running around trying to gather up the animals, find his family, get them in, get the door shut so he could survive. It wasn't that way at all. God gave an appointed time. God brought Noah into the ark with his family, with the animals, and God shut the door. And then it started to rain. Then it started to rain. Judgment come after Noah and his family were saved. Lot was the same way. Lot's completely a different situation, because, you see, Lot was kind of an ungodly man. He was living in Sodom. He was in the judgment hall. He was an official in Sodom. But you see, once you trust in Jesus, once you're a child of God, God never forsakes you, even though you forsake Him. Lot was down in Sodom, and if you'll remember, he made some decisions that were bad when Abraham and Lot were standing there, and they had come back out of Egypt, which they shouldn't have been in Egypt, but they come back out and they had all these cattle, and the grazing was just the herdsmen of both, of Lot and Abraham, were fighting. And so Abraham, the father, the one that could have, uncle to Lot, but it could have had the proper position. I am here. I'm supposed to be here. I'm taking this land, you take whatever land you want to take. Well, Abraham didn't do that because, you see, Abraham said he had a tremendous faith and a tremendous belief in his God. He didn't care about the land. He told Lot, you take whichever direction you want to, and I'll go the opposite way. Well, instead of Lot saying, you know, Lord, what will you want me to do? Where would you like me to go? Where would you like me to be? Instead of that, why, Lot looked. And he looked at, oh, that was pretty. And it overlooked Sodom and Gomorrah in the valley. And he looked at that. And almost the very next scripture, we find Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah because, you see, the world just sucked him in, took him right on in. Well, he was in Sodom when judgment was going to come upon the cities of the valley. Pre-incarnate Christ with two angels showed up to Abraham's tent door. And you remember the 50 and the 40 and the 30 and the 10 all the way. If they're 10 righteous, will you save it? Yes. Well, we know God destroyed it all, but not till he took Lot out. There wasn't one spark, there wasn't one fireball come from heaven before Lot was out of the city safe, away from the judgment. And so he did not have to run when the judgment started. Noah didn't have to run to get into the ark because it was raining. God didn't bring judgment until both of those were safe. And he will do the same for us as the church. He will take us home to be in his presence before this time begins. And what a wonderful hope that we have. And so seeing that, it died again. Did you start the tape? That's fine. All that come to the earth, all the plagues, all the judgments will come upon the inhabitants of the earth after the church is raptured. All the total wickedness. We need to be excited and saddened all at the same time. Because when all this breaks loose upon earth, this tribulation period, when the blood runs 10 foot deep, 200 miles long, men will cry out to have the rocks hide them from the face of Jesus Christ. When he comes as a judge, when he comes and we will be with him, man, sinners will cry out because they don't want to see his face. But we will not be here. We will be with him, coming with him as he brings judgment upon all that choose not to trust in the Lord Jesus. There's many things that we have to look forward to, and we'll go through them here very quickly. 1 Thessalonians is where we're going to start. And it's just some scripture verses you're probably very familiar with. But I want to read them so that you know what's going to happen as a believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that 18th verse, you know, comfort one another with these precious sweet words. Comfort one another. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what we should be doing. Looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be doing. We should be looking for His coming. Awaiting His coming.
That's what we should be doing.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We need to be at work. When we look at this 10th chapter 3, since you've stayed true to the Word and you've enjoyed it, I will keep you from the upon all the world upon the earth. Philadelphia. Its time period really doesn't end until the church raptured. And there are bits and pieces of all seven churches all through the ages. But the prominent today are only two, the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea is the next church and the final church of the seven churches. That age we are in right now. But we are also in the age of the Church of Philadelphia. Those churches that have stayed true to the Word of God, they have not left it, they have not polluted it, they have not watered it down, they have not changed it so that you can, you know, you don't bother you when you hear it. And so in doing that, in those that have stayed true, when that day comes, there are two different directions people are going to go. It's going to be a dividing of the wheat and the tares. That day will be a day of the rapture of the church or the beginning of the tribulation. The Laodicean church will go into the tribulation. The Philadelphia church, the true believers, will go up into the presence of the Lord. In one day, those two directions will be taken. One will go up into the presence of the Lord Jesus for the great supper, and the other will go into the tribulation period. And so we have two churches existing all the way to the end times. And the Church of Philadelphia is one. And, of course, the Church of Laodicea, which is the actual church age we're in today. Again, we should not be looking for the tribulation or for the Antichrist. We should be looking for the Christ. We should be looking for our Savior. That's who we should be looking for. And verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown." It all builds to the same thing. When we're not so afraid looking to the tribulation, but we're looking for our Savior, for our King to come, then we're going to be serving and working and acquiring crowns. We're going to be acquiring crowns. Now this 11th verse says, "Behold, I come quickly." That does not mean that He's coming necessarily soon. I believe with everything that's going on in this world today that He is not going to tarry much longer. But I'll tell you what, Paul and Peter believed the same thing. He didn't think that He was going to stay near 2,000 years to stay away. God's time is God's time. But what this Scripture means is when He comes, He's going to come now. It's whenever that time is, it's going to happen. It's going to happen quick. And so if it's going to happen quick, what do we need to be? Ready. We need to be ready. Now, how can we be ready? How can we be ready? When you get ready to go on a trip, do you just decide today it's time to go? You're anxious, you want to go, you want to get away for a little bit, and so, all right, you're going to go on a trip. And so you just say, okay. And you walk out with whatever clothes you have on, get in the vehicle, and drive off, don't you? That's the way you go on a vacation, don't you? I don't care if it's just for a few days, just for a little period of time. You make plans. You make plans. I don't know about you folks, but our dining room table becomes everything that we're going to take. 3 weeks before we go, we can't use the dining room table because anything that we want to take goes on the dining room table. Anything on the dining room table goes. And so we start to pack. We make plans. We even take care of the vehicle. We see that the oil's changed in the vehicle. We see that it's ready to run, got good tires on, it's ready to go. You've made plans where you're going. And not only is everything on the dining room table go, but then you go in and you start pulling stuff out of the closet, put it into your suitcase, and you pack your suitcase. And that day finally comes, and you're ready. And you're ready. Now, it's going to be different when Jesus comes to get us. Because it's not going to be like us. When we leave, then we come back and get what we forgot, and then we leave again. And we may do that two or three times. And also the other thing that we do is we make about five stops before we get out of town. We got to stop here and do this and stop here and do this and stop here and do what is that? That's being not ready. No matter whether for 3 weeks we've been working at it, we're still not ready. But when Jesus comes, He's not going to say, He already is saying, get ready. But He's not going to make one last-minute announcement. And He's not going to call and say, okay, 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be there. Have your bags packed. Be ready. Number one, if you haven't been planning this trip all of your Christian life, you're not going to throw something in a bag and be ready when He comes. We need to be today, every day, preparing. And there are crowns that's there. Again, we need to be excited about His coming. The suddenness, it's going to be, you know, when that time comes, it's going to come. And so we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. Again, as Titus 2:13 says, let's look to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's look for His coming. Let's be thinking about His coming. And the scripture verse says that when you kept the word of My patience, I will keep you from this hour of temptation. All the world's going to go through it, but you won't have to. Hold fast what you have. What you have learned, what you have gained, how you have grown, hold fast to that. Hold fast to that. And that no man take thy crown. Now the reason we have to hold fast to the Word of God, stay true to it, be in service to Him, because it's not that you can get there's five crowns, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. There's five that are listed in Scripture. There are others, but these are the main ones. Again, the incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25, crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8, crown of life, James 1:12, and the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. There are those crowns listed. And we should be working for and towards those crowns. This is our luggage. This is preparing for His coming. And when you have that crown, it says, no man take it from you. Well, what happens is, because we are not serving and not praising and not honoring and not working for Him, we have no crowns. And so the devil's kept us from it. And we need to be busy preparing. We need to be preparing for His coming. Looking for His coming. Excited that He's coming. This incorruptible crown is like a winner. It's the master over the old nature. It's like the winner of a race. And he gets kind of an athlete's crown. But he's won the race of life. Crown of rejoicing is one that will go to those that have a tremendous love for souls. They love to see folks saved. Soul winner's crown. The crown of righteousness are those looking for His return. They're waiting for His return, for the rapture of the church. That is the crown of righteousness. The crown of life are those that go through great trials and testings, and they stay true to the Word of God. They don't let anything of this life take their love and their faith in Jesus away. And the crown of glory will be to those faithful preachers and teachers that stay in the truth. Now, that's the five that are specifically listed in the Word of God. How many crowns will we have? And it's not for our honor and glory. It's that we can bring them then and hand them and put them at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be prepared. We need to be busy. We need to be working. We need to be prepared for His coming. We need to be prepared. We need to be packed. We need everything ready. Because we're not going to have 2 weeks' notice. It'll be just like that. We may not return this evening for study. Because all those that are believers will be gone. It'll be done. All the plans that we've made, all the things that we want to do, will have no importance whatsoever, because we're going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior. This 12th verse, very quickly: Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And it seems that verse is telling us that we're going to basically have a passport, or we're going to have a visa that's going to allow us to go anywhere, everywhere, all the time. Our Lord's going to give us a freedom that we've never had before. And this new name that He speaks of in that 12th verse is a name that is a personal name. It is His name. And I wonder, you know, we're going to begin a wonderful new relationship with Jesus. We speak and talk about the personal relationship that each need to have here upon this earth. But my friend, when we see Jesus face to face, that relationship's going to change. That relationship's going to change. And I wonder if a poor example, but a small example, would be like when two get married, because their relationship changes. And all of a sudden now you have a very personal relationship. And what happens to the bride? She takes on the name of the husband. Her name changes. We're going to take on His name. We're going to have a new relationship with Him, because our Savior Jesus Christ died for us. Yes, the tribulation's coming. We don't have to worry about it. What we need to do is be packing. We need to be preparing for our trip. We need to be ready. When He comes, we need to be ready. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do you hear? Do you hear? Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You today for Your precious Word. I thank You for Your strength. I just ask, dear Lord, that You can take Your precious Word and touch every one of our hearts. We will return next week and go into the church of Laodicea. Your Father, help us as a body of believers not to move in and be like the church of Laodicea, but keep us as the church of Philadelphia. Father, all those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, please, dear Lord, that you touch their hearts today. Your word never returns void, and so please that they hear your word and they trust in you today and they accept you today as their Savior. Invite you into their hearts. And Father, there is always, always room for growing. And so grow each one of us. Come to know you. Now we begin the lifelong schooling, learning, growing. The teacher being the Holy Spirit within our heart. Your precious words before us. Oh, dear Lord, thank you. And please, touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.